This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Thanks for joining us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Possibility of some thunderstorms later this afternoon. A warm and humid day with a high of 82. 84 right now at O'Hare, 73 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update from Wall Street. Certainly better news than yesterday. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
That's for sure. Cisco and Chris, international concerns are waning and stocks are in recovery mode. The Dow up 275 points or more than 1%. We're at 24,636. NASDAQ gaining 59 points and the S&P higher by 32 to 2721. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining 1.3%. Our economy grew at a weaker 2.2% pace in the first 3 months of the year. According to the latest reading of GDP, consumers and businesses slowed their spending, but analysts are still expecting a solid rebound in the current quarter. A look at private payroll growth shows a weaker-than-expected reading there as well. Businesses added 178,000 jobs this month, according to ADP. That report finds strong hiring in construction, education, healthcare, and professional and business services. The main industry not adding jobs, retail. Crude oil futures up more than 2% to $68.25 a barrel. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
And on today's Noon Business Hour, China reportedly preparing a boost in the trade war against the United States and the lessons we learn from Roseanne Barr.
Personal Finance Wednesday, relationships and money. When is it good to talk finances? Also, Walmart beginning to offer some free college tuition to employees. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The cancellation of Roseanne Barr's TV show has an impact that goes far beyond just the controversial comedian, and that's coming up in our next segment. Don't want to miss it. Right now, there are developments in trade with China and Europe. While a couple of key domestic economic reports are out today, we're joined by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. Carl, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What are you most interested in today?
Well, what I'm most interested in today is this GDP report that we saw this morning. Now, you might at the first glance say, well, that was simply revisions to Q1 data that we already knew, and the revisions were pretty minor. But there's 2 points worth noting in this report. And one was, aside from a very minor revision to overall GDP, which actually was a tenth slower than initially reported, if we look at the underlying composition of growth, it actually looks better and more constructive for output in the current quarter. That's point number one. But point number two is watching corporate profits. And so with this second print on Q1 GDP, we get the first look at economy-wide corporate profits. And there's lots of distorting factors with changes to corporate tax rates and all of these issues around the end of last year and the start of this year. But the important thing is that we're starting to see some, if I can use the term, green shoots in terms of corporate profits starting to show some evidence of reacceleration. And that is critical to the economic outlook.
So this means that the economy can keep doing very well in the months ahead.
Exactly. Keep doing well. So corporate profits tend to drive hiring decisions and also investment decisions as businesses are considering how to continue to expand their operations in an environment with rising inflation and labor scarcity. If the profits aren't there, then businesses tend to rein in activity. When the profits are there, that supports a sturdier economic outlook and therefore more aggressive spending patterns, and that in and of itself helps the economy. So you talked about the economy extending a little bit further, and certainly we're in a very long economic cycle. It's the second longest on record. if corporate profits continue to grow, we should last at least until this time next year, and then we'll be able to declare victory in terms of being the longest economic cycle on the record books, topping the 40-quarter expansion of the 1990s.
Carl, you touched on inflation there for a moment. What kind of inflation concerns might there be if there's a more significant trade war with China, and even the EU is sort of being dragged into this?
Sure. Well, if we have trade skirmishes and trade barriers put in place, that will provide an inflationary shock, a one-time price increase, which will show up in the numbers. But the bigger driver of inflation is really going to have to do with whether household income creation is there. After all, if the income is not there, then households will simply pull back on other spending to accommodate the tariffs. And so that will, where inflation gives with one hand, it will take away with the other hand. So until we start to see more evidence of accelerating labor cost pressures in the economy, you're really going to have just short-term shocks to inflation, but not a sustained pickup.
Are we seeing good wage growth, and what is really a good level of wage growth?
Well, we're seeing a very low level of wage pressures. And, of course, the next data point will come up this Friday when we get a look at the May jobs report. But we're seeing wage pressures shy of 3% growth. And that's a pretty tepid number. Now, if we really, as economists say, slice the bologna thin really try to smooth out the trend, it looks like maybe there's some modest pickup in pressures, but not really anything too concerning, especially given the fact that the unemployment rate is now below 4%. We should be seeing a lot more wage pressures in the economy. They're simply not there.
Carl, the Wall Street Journal is reporting today that what it says of China reportedly lining up countries against U.S. impending trade war.
Well, it's certainly brinkmanship and gamesmanship. Now, the U.S. runs a significant trade deficit with China. And so in a lot of regards, that means that while the U.S. can turn to other producers to supply those goods that we're consuming, it will be very difficult for China to find a market as big as the U.S. If we stop buying their product. And so China has a vested interest of their own to try to avoid some sort of significant trade disruption. It would be an inflationary impulse in the U.S., as we already discussed. It would have much bigger economic consequences for China.
Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. Up next, the cancellation of Roseanne Barr's TV show is putting a lot of people out of work and will have a residual effect.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The cancellation of Roseanne Barr's sitcom due to racist tweets she made has far-reaching implications. Let's talk about some of the many business angles with Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Verter Group here in Chicago. Tim, obviously this has an impact on Roseanne and her income, but there's lots of other people working on the show, whether they're actors and actresses or people behind the scenes, and they're impacted as well.
Hey, Cisco. Yeah, absolutely. The challenge is that the television industry, the business of television, right, is multifaceted. And what we're talking about here is not just the abrupt cancellation of a TV show, right, which for its owner, but certainly its main broadcaster in ABC and all the local TV stations that were depending on it for its being part of the fall schedule, obviously a very popular program this season, and heavily touted just a couple of weeks ago at the annual upfront presentations that go on in New York City every year to tout various programs by various networks for advertisers. So all of a sudden you have a huge gaping hole in what was promised to be a major show in the fall schedule. And so that's the pretty obvious thing. But there's a lot of sort of reverberations after the fact, right? This is a show that began, a couple of decades earlier and is very pronounced in reruns. And obviously those shows are being pulled from the various networks and TV syndication packages. So you have a show that both in its previous and its current incarnation is now being sort of taken away from the entire system. And that's even before we get to the talent and the producers and the directors and all the other people that were, you know, integral to helping make such a show.
Yeah, and that's where the residuals come in, right? You have actors and other people who make money off of every single one of those syndicated episodes every time it airs.
Yeah, so beyond the distribution environments that we just discussed, I mean, the reality is that it takes a village, if you will, not to politically mix metaphors, right? But the idea, frankly, is that, you know, there's a lot of people that put their time and effort into a show like this, and some of their economics are very much tied into the life cycle or lifetime of a show, right? So if a show is being rebroadcast or one of the old episodes of Roseanne is being seen in syndication on a Diginet TV network or a cable network or an oldies-focused television programming block, those are all, you know, shekels of revenue that aren't somehow coming back to the directors, the owners, the producers, the studios, maybe even Roseanne or her group of talent producers themselves. And, you know, that's hugely disruptive to what was largely an income stream that is expected over time.
Tim, did ABC have a real choice here?
Well, now you're getting into some sort of political sort of, I guess, realities. And I don't mean political in a broad sense, but in a business sense, right? You know, there's no question that in today's social media-fueled world, right, that we can be very reactive. People can say things, and, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. I'm not going to sort of get into the specifics of her commentary. I don't think anybody agrees with any of that. But the reality is that, you know, it's a very quick-moving media landscape these days. And, you know, certain issues can certainly blow up in people's faces. And it has always been the case with celebrities, whether it's in programming or endorsements of things that they advertise. So, you know, it's a very trigger-happy kind of culture we live in, only aided and abetted by a button push and a tweet.
Tim, always good having you with us. Thanks for your explanation of some of these things. We'll be watching how it turns out. Tim Hanlon is founder and CEO of the Vertera Group in Chicago. Still ahead, Personal Finance Wednesday, making sure money doesn't get in the way of a relationship. WBBM News Time, 12:25. Business news sponsored by ShopYourBank.com. Here's Lisa Peretti.
Chris, yesterday's red ink is gone for the NASDAQ and S&P, now positive for the week, and the Dow is down just 0.2%. That tells you just how big the gains are, because the blue chips are up 335 points, almost 1.5% higher, and we are approaching 24,700. NASDAQ gaining 72 points, or 1%, and the S&P up now almost 1.5%, or 38 points, to 2727. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index is up 1.5%. Crude oil futures are doing some heavy lifting. They're up 2% and moving above $68 a barrel. That's helping to lift Exxon and Chevron. As for the grains, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Lower today on possibility of tariffs on China and also then the good weather and the rains overnight. July corn down 5.75 at 4.30 1/4. December down 6.75 at 4.12 1/4. July beans down 5.25 at 10.25, with November's down 4.5 at 10.38. Those are 9 to 10 off their lows. Lower prices across the board in the grains. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are gaining ground today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday, how talking about money up front can prevent relationship backlash.
Walmart joins other companies providing a valuable employee perk, college tuition.
A man remains missing in the Chicago River after a rescue attempt that led to the death of a fire department diver.
New guidelines recommend colon cancer screening at age 45 instead of 50.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 316, the NASDAQ gaining 70, S&P 500 up by 36.
Clouds in Chicagoland with some scattered rain and maybe heavier stuff on the way this afternoon. Perhaps a thunderstorm. Right now, 84 O'Hare, 85 Midway, 77 along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are higher this hour, as you just heard. We're joined by Michael Palumbo, who is Chief Portfolio Manager at TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Michael, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What are the markets happy about today?
Good afternoon, Chris and Cisco, and thanks again for having me on. You know, this is kind of a relief rally based on what's going on overseas in Italy. We, you know, when we have a long weekend like we did this past weekend, a lot of times there is a big market move the next day because there's things happening internationally while we're not in business. So what happened this weekend is an Italian election that basically threatened Italy leaving the EU. And so we had a big sell-off yesterday, a big sell-off in Italian bonds, and a flight to quality to U.S. bonds. And then today it's basically reversed. So the market believes, as people think about it a little bit harder, that Italy isn't going anywhere. And they're not going to leave the EU. And even though we're going to constantly have these fake possible leaving the EU moments from Spain and Italy and Portugal and Greece, I don't think any of these countries ever will because they can't afford to.
So this does not really affect the U.S. then in any negative way?
Well, it would. If Italy left, it certainly would. Any turmoil in the EU definitely affects our growth rate. So it's going to be interesting coming up in a couple of weeks. The Fed is going to meet on June 13th, and they're supposed to raise rates. Well, I say supposed to, they're expected to. And I do think they still will. But because of the political turmoil in the EU, it's going to be interesting to see if they still do it. These types of things, as I said, Italy's not going to leave. I would give you almost 100% that they won't, but there's constant turmoil over there of countries that are unhappy. Now, the UK voted to leave, but they can afford to. They're an economy that can live on its own. Italy cannot. And so these types of stories, they're more bluster than they are actual anything really going to happen. But like I said, if something did happen to the EU, that would affect the U.S. just because we do so much business out there.
So if it is just bluster, is there a buying opportunity for investors?
Yeah, there was this morning.
Wait, I already missed
late.
It?
Too late.
Oh, man.
You know,
I mean, it was basically to buy yesterday. And these types of things, when the market's pretty darn smart, and it doesn't give you opportunities buying or selling for very long. And so I do believe that the buying opportunity is already passed. That doesn't mean the market can't go up from here, but it just that quick buying opportunity has now passed, and we see how quickly the market has reacted. It's really hard to beat a market that is so intelligent. But yeah, yesterday afternoon you buy the panic, and now it's over, and now you have to look to the future. And the future right now in the U.S. is going to be jobs report on Friday. That, I think, will determine whether the Fed does anything on June 13th. They are expected to, but if that jobs report comes in weak, which none of them have been, they've been strong. But if it does come in weak, then we have a new ball game here. But I do expect things to continue to be strong here in the United States. And then the Fed will raise on June 13th.
You mentioned strong job numbers, at least recently. Do you see overall fundamentals as being solid enough to continue rallying the market, actually maybe get us back to a season of growth?
Well, the S&P is up 2% for the year. So with all this volatility, we actually haven't moved much. It's been a wide range, but overall for the year, it's up 2%. Do I think it can go up from here? I do. I just think that this year is going to be a choppy year because we've come so far already in gains. You know, this has been a very long bull market, and so a little bit of a pause is probably healthy here. But yes, I do think that if things continue on this pace and GDP numbers now are their expected second quarter could be 3%, that's the highest we've seen since the financial crisis. So we're starting to get back to a more normal growth rate, and that's all positive. So I don't see any real negative forces inside the U.S. I think more of them are coming from overseas.
We have been watching the markets do so well for many months, but a couple of times we've heard the word recession. Is there any reason to think that that is on the horizon?
There are no data points that point to it right now, but recessions in the past have been very hard to predict. That every year there is a chance that a recession will hit. It's just that right now I would say that the odds are lower than normal. And notice I don't say zero, because I just don't think there's ever a 0% chance. Things can change and they can come out of nowhere. But in this case, the way as strong as the U.S. is, I think if there is a recession, it will be brought on to us from overseas.
Mike Palumbo, always appreciate having you on the show. Michael is Chief Portfolio Manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund, also author of the book Calculated Risk. Coming up, Personal Finance Wednesday, managing relationships and money.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday here on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. This afternoon, we're tackling a potentially touchy subject, relationships and money. We're joined by Mark Horner, wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management, also editor of MillionDollarCupOfCoffee.com, based in Oak Brook. Mark, especially for people who are already in relationships, maybe over the long run, are they supposed to be talking about finances on a regular basis, and especially all of the finances?
Right. So this is a little bit of a touchy topic, Cisco. And I don't know about all the time. I'm not sure that anybody wants to be working through reconciling the bank account every other day. But there's no question that finances are part of anybody's life and part of anybody's relationship. And talking about it at some level, I think, is important to any relationship. And that is going to vary. Some people like to handle this together, and others like to delegate. And so one person handles the finances, and the other person handles other things that need to be addressed in any partnership.
Now, we've talked in the past about merging finances. I'm interested in your take on that. When do couples put all the bank accounts together, make sure all the retirement, all that stuff is together? Do they ever do that? Is it ever appropriate?
Yeah, and so that one also varies just person by person. And so I don't think there's an absolute right answer to that. Some couples do go ahead and merge accounts, merge credit card accounts. Others choose to keep those things separate. And then a third option is to have maybe a joint account where household bills are paid out of, and that account gets funded from an individual's own checking or savings account. So there really isn't a right or a wrong way to do that. I would say, though, that for those people out there that choose to keep their finances separate, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that, they'd want to consider a financial planning, an estate planning tool, and that is to have a financial power of attorney in place. And how that works is you designate somebody to go ahead and make financial decisions for you in the event of incapacitation. So that'd just be a smart estate planning a tool to use for people that do keep their finances separate.
And if you have children, of course, then there's the questions of the making it for them. If something should happen to either one of you, you've got your insurance.
Absolutely, Chris. And so a comprehensive estate plan is also going to address, if you've got young children, guardianship issues, and adult children could serve as in that role as a financial power of attorney. So it doesn't necessarily need to be a spouse or a partner. Adult children can serve in that role as well. So there's lots of different ways to address this issue. But as always, talking about it is a great first step. You don't ignore it.
Did you say that you could both have a credit card, different credit cards, and it would be all right?
It absolutely is. So that's actually what my wife and I do. So I've got my own personal credit card. She's got her own personal credit card, and we keep track of spending in that way. It's a natural to keep track of different household expenditures, which she tends to spend things in different ways than I do. So we do that, but that doesn't mean that that's the right way to go. You could very easily have a joint credit card.
Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor, Fairhaven Wealth Management, joining us on Personal Finance Wednesday. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday. Still to come, college tuition as an employee perk.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Walmart is adding a college tuition plan to its compensation package. Let's talk about how companies are using that perk to attract and retain workers in a tight job market. Scott Sargis is founder and president at Strategic Search Corp here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Scott.
Thank you, Chris.
So they want to attract young people for jobs, and this perk is helping them do that. What does the employee actually get from this?
Well, it's another incentive to join Walmart. So, as you know, Walmart's the biggest private employer in the nation with 1.5 million employees, and they're growing, and they need talent. And with the 91st straight month of jobs creation, which is an all-time record, we're in a war for talent. So this is just another one of the key things that employers like Walmart are doing to make them the employer of destination.
So how does this actually work with the money and with the perk that they get?
Well, they have to pay the employees that are interested have to pay a dollar a day for 365 days out of the year that they're in the system. And Walmart has three universities they're working with, the University of Florida, Brandman University, and Bellevue University, as part of their partnership with Guild Education. And specifically, the employees have to pursue either supply chain or business classes, which is in Walmart's best interest.
So is that maybe distinct compared with some of the corporate programs that'll reimburse you or let you get whatever you want? It sounds like Walmart's wanting to train its employees so that they stick around.
Correct. Well, not only to stick around, Cisco, but also to build their bench strength. So they have specifically targeted two areas that they want to build bench strength, supply chain and management, so that they can have an employee that they can invest in for the future that can be a manager and a director of the future and help continue to build Walmart.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us today. And Starbucks and Chipotle have also offered similar education packages. So this is really a trend that we're seeing. Scott is a founder and president at Strategic Search Corp here in Chicago. If you've missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour with a check of Wall Street. Sponsored by Leapfrog Technology Group at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the gains keep growing. The Dow now higher by 315 points or 1.3%, and the benchmarks pushing up to 24,700. NASDAQ gaining almost 1% or 68 points, reclaiming 7,400 at 7,464. And the S&P on the advance by 36 points, good for a gain of almost 1.5% to 2,726. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining almost 1.5%. So investors figure the reaction to Italy's political uncertainty may have been a little too harsh, and we're back in the green for the week for the NASDAQ and S&P, and the Dow is only slightly lower. There's a chance that a fresh round of Italian elections could turn into a referendum on whether Italy wants to stay in the European Union, but the timing of any vote is uncertain and no longer such a big concern for investors. Oil is also erasing some of its recent losses. Crude futures up 2.3% to 28 cents a barrel, and that's taking Dow stock Chevron and ExxonMobil up about 3% each. The maker of Ambien is responding to Roseanne Barr's tweet that got her ABC show canceled. She said on Twitter that Ambien tweeting was the reason she posted a racial slur against former Obama administration advisor Valerie Jarrett. Sanofi says, quote, "Racism is not a known side effect of any Sanofi medication." With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.